This is Pop Culture Confidential, and I'm Christina Yerling Biru. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's already mid-April, and that means it's time to take a closer look at those big, splashy, buzzy, action-packed films that make up the summertime in Hollywood. There's going to be a lot of returning favorites and franchises, Jokers, Twisters, Furiosa, and Beetlejuice, and big stars and returning collaborators like Yorgos Lanthimos and Emma Stone. Let me tell you about my guest who is going to help me wade through the summer months in La La Land. She is the senior artisans editor at Variety and part of the awards team analyzing the Emmys and Oscar races over there. When I do deep dives into anything Hollywood or the artisans, I always seek out Jazz Tankay's interviews and analysis. Jazz was last on the show way back when, like I think 2021, and I'm so happy to have her back. Jazz, thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. It has been so long, like years.
Too long.
I feel it was way before 2021, but who has any sense of time nowadays?
Yeah, I don't know. Everything is just a blur, right? Well, you're going to help me look at this pretty interesting summer we have ahead of us. I want to get your thoughts, some extra thoughts on the big artisans that we're going to see coming through and take a look at these buzzy anticipated summer titles that run through like May to August or so. But I'm going to start with one that will be released in October, but I can't help myself. I have to ask you what you thought of the trailer that just dropped for Joker, Folie à Deux, the upcoming musical with Joaquin Phoenix is back and Lady Gaga playing Harley Quinn.
Let's go, boy. It's showtime. Wakey,
wakey. Hey, Fleck, you got a joke for us today?
We use music to make us whole, to balance the fractures within ourselves.
I'm nobody. I haven't done anything with my life like you have.
What did you think of this trailer?
It was so good. October 4 is blanked out. It's like, no one talk to me. I will be watching it. It was really just, you know, there's this build up, right? Like we've seen the stills, we've seen, you know, we live in this age now where we can see like behind the scenes, like here's Lady Gaga and Joaquin like on the steps at the Bronx, and you know, like we were getting hint of like, oh my gosh, it throws back to the first, and then you see the trailer, and just the cinematography, Laurence Sher's cinematography, the costumes by Ariane Phillips, and just that combination. It's going to be, I was going to say deadly, but it's going to be amazing. It's just this combination of Lady Gaga and Joaquin.
They're doing that thing again, though, with the trailer where they're kind of hiding that it's actually a musical.
Although they kind of like, I mean, there's that quote she says at the beginning, and then you've got like that shot that pays homage to the Umbrella de Cherbourg. And mm-hmm. like, so they're kind of teasing it, but.
I wasn't a big fan of Joker. I found it a bit derivative of Scorsese films in a way that didn't quite do it for me, but I will also be there locked in on October 4th.
It was so divisive though, right? Like, right. You know, I think people either loved it or hated it, and it's no secret. I love the first one. When I saw that, it was like, because I think people were like, oh, Joker, it's another DC thing. And it was so far from that. And I came out and was like, I think Joaquin's gonna, you know, win the Oscar, and everyone's like, nah, you're crazy. Like, DC, and It's that thing where, and you know, you have it where I'm experiencing with Emmys, right? Where you get to watch a show and you're like, it's so good. And then you go to a screening, you go to an event, and then it's like, wait, the rest of the world hasn't seen this. So whatever opinion you put out there, you're kind of on your own, and the fandom can attack you or not. And then they see it and they're like, oh, okay, you're not. You're not alone anymore, to quote the trailer.
Okay, moving on.
You think that tennis is about expressing yourself, doing your thing. You don't know what tennis is.
What is it?
Tashi Duncan.
She's in another league.
You were incredible today.
Come on!
To have a fashion line, a foundation.
She's gonna turn a whole family into millionaires.
What are you gonna do now?
Unfortunately, my only skill in life is hitting a ball with a racket.
I want you to be my coach.
I want you to be my coach.
How often does this happen? Going after the same girl?
I have to ask you about Challengers, which looks hot, hot, hot. This is the, what should I call it, a sports romance by Luca Guadagnino. Stars, of course, Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, Mike Feist. And it looks like it's like the hottest thing to come out of Hollywood this year. Is that so?
Put it this way. I think I tweeted pickleball could never be this sexy. it is wild. It is Luca being, you know, I mean, he's got the best cast to make a very sexy film. It's very, yeah, it's a very hot film. If you think Call Me By Your Name was hot, this is kind of like, it's like for me on par with that. And it's literally the three of them. So there's like no other characters, and it's just this world.
And they have a romance, right? The three of them, or somehow.
There's a lovely little romance in there. And I mean, I don't want to spoil it because it's worth, I put it this way, it's worth the wait and see it on the big screen. And somebody asked us, my wife and I, we play tennis, and I was like, do you think like the sweat was exaggerated? I was like, no, if you play at 12 p.m. like on a Saturday when the sun is blazing down, you do sweat that much. Maybe he exaggerated a little bit, but.
Well, coming from you, because I know you're a huge tennis fan. You follow tennis, you play tennis. So if you think it's good, then I know it's right. Zendaya's sort of dueling press tours that have been now with Dune and this one, I mean, to be cheesy, grand slam on the red carpet for this one.
100%. Every day it's like, okay, what look is she going to come up with? And
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.
So we're starting in May now, May 3rd, The Fall Guy, directed by stuntman and director David Leitch. And it's, of course, about based on the 1980s TV series about stunt performers Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Winston Duke, a whole bunch of stunts, a whole bunch of humor, and a nice little romance in there as well.
Anyone but him. I didn't approve him. You know that.
You are literally the last person on earth I want to see.
Slap the shit out of you. I really could.
And I'm open to that in a safer environment.
You've been a ghost. No phone call, no text.
It's not like I didn't want to apologize.
You don't have to explain anything. It was just a flame. So how have you been? God, I hate that thumbs up stunt guy stuff.
I loved it, right? Like
me too.
it was so. When it ended, I was like, "Can we stay? Can we watch it again?" And I was like, "I just want to watch the film over and over." Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt have They're so, that dynamic is great. They have so much chemistry. There's a scene in the car where I don't want to ruin it because we've obviously seen it, but I'm just going to say the Taylor Swift moment is incredible. But it's got it all. And Hannah Waddingham is brilliant as a producer. She is, it's kind of like I want to hold back, but look out for Hannah Waddingham. But it's great to see David do this film. And if anyone can pay tribute to the stunt world and to pay tribute to the industry too, it's David Leitch. And it's,
because that's really what it does. I mean, it really is a tribute to these performers, these stunt performers that Ryan Gosling and the rest of them would be nothing without. And so it's about time. Do you think that this is sort of a first, a lead up to a possible new Oscar category, which everyone really wants?
I was going to say, if the Academy needs like a case study of why there needs to be a stunt Oscar, sit down, watch The Fall Guy, and this is your case, right? This is your dissertation with an A-plus grade that hopefully will sell it. So watch this space. And, I wrote the story the other day that David Leitch and his production company or stunt company, 87 North, actually, this film will have the first stunt designer credit. So it was approved by SAG-AFTRA and the DGA, and it's recognizing, it's basically saying that, it's not just the stunt coordinator, it takes a, there's a design aspect. Somebody has to actually put that together. So
yeah, design the whole scene.
Design the whole fight. Yeah. So now they've worked really hard for that, and it's an incredible, Chris O'Hara's getting it, who's got an incredible body of work. So it's a step in the right direction.
And in terms of this amazing period that it's been for Ryan Gosling, both with Barbie and, of course, his show-stopping number at the Oscars, how do you think this is going to go? Is it going to be a big hit?
I think so. I think, people want to come out and see it because the trailer just looks so good. And, it's like, we have our bubble, and it's like, we have to watch it anyway. And then, I sent it out to one of my friends, and I was like, hey, do you want to watch this? Like, what do you think of this? And the second I got a yes, it was like, okay, that just kind of confirms that this could be a big film. And to your Ryan Gosling point, like, I think this is going to break him out of the Ken bubble, like, mold that he's been stuck in. The Ken, association thing that he's been in for the last year. I feel like he's going to be very relieved to be back in action.
I think so too. I think this has a little bit for everyone. I mean, if you really have all the references to the industry, as you were saying, all the humor, you have this great love story and action. And I think this could appeal to a really big, many quadrants of the moviegoers coming out here in May. So moving on to the 10th, we have another one in a series. It's Kingdom of Planet of the Apes. How do you feel about this? Are you done with this series, or are you looking forward to it?
I'm curious. The trailer looks good. Am I ever done with it? It's that thing. It's Weta, that they're the VFX team and the behind it. I'm looking forward to it. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely see it. And I think that the trailer, the VFX looks absolutely amazing. I can't say it's the top of my list. It'll be interesting to see if they can actually, what they do with the story and if it has an emotional grip on us, the viewers. But who's directing this now? Let me see. Wes Ball.
Wes Ball did. What has he done? Maze Runner.
So it'll be interesting. I always like William H. Macy and everything, and he's apparently in it, so.
Are you familiar with the concept of evolution? In their time, humans were capable of many great things.
Noah!
thing could fly like eagles fly. They could speak across oceans. But now it is our time. And it is my kingdom.
And then we have one that I will be sitting front row for, hopefully maybe at Cannes. It's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. It premieres on May 24th. Before then, it will be at Cannes, so we'll know what people think. The George Miller is back in a prequel where Anya Taylor-Joy is taking the titular character, Chris Hemsworth, also with us. I think this looks just so awesome. I cannot wait. What are you hearing?
Same. I wish I were going to Cannes to watch it, but I'm just going to have to wait till they show it in LA. But yeah, George Miller is back. Anya Taylor-Joy. I mean, everything about this film just looks amazing.
What is George Miller? I mean, in terms of the artisans you see coming in this film, what is he serving us?
I mean, I think cinematography-wise, it's going to be amazing. I think the sound of this film is going to be really, you know, I think it's one of those things that, like, see it in IMAX or just see it on the bigger screen. The sets look incredible. I mean, if the first one was anything to go on, this is going to be great. Jenny Bevan did the costume, so she's back again. She did Fury Road. So, you know, I can't wait to see what she does with Anya.
Can you imagine filling Charlize's shoes?
Those are big shoes to fill, right? But I think Anya's going to be pretty...
Oh, she's great casting.
Amazing, right?
Whatever you have to do. However long it takes. Promise me you'll find your way home. Furiosa. Give me this promise.
I'm curious to see if you're looking forward to this. Bad Boys Ride or Die. Will Smith and Martin Lawrence are back. The buddy cop action comedy that was a huge hit, of course. What do you say?
You know, I mean, I loved the first film, which is crazy to think that was made in 1995. Right?
Oh, it's like, God, so old.
When you look at that, you're like, wait, this was done so long ago. And it, to me, like, the first one is great. And it's so much fun, and they are a great, you know, they're a great pairing. So I'm curious.
That one had a lot of the many different aspects, like we were talking about in The Fall Guy. It has humor, it has action, it has lots of fun references, and they were a great duo. So, I mean, I'm thinking that they'll be able to do this again and elevate it to 2024.
Come on, Mike, slow down.
We are late.
My stomach, Mike. I need a ginger ale.
Get a ginger ale and nothing else.
Are those dogs fresh?
Put them in yesterday.
Give me one. Put some relish on that motherfucker.
Open the register. Stay right there.
Mm-mm. Is that Skittles on the counter, Marcus?
This ain't mine, Mike.
Yes, it is.
Shut the fuck up!
Marcus, get in the car.
He has a gun to my head.
Want to deal with him? You want to deal with me?
Sorry, sir, but I gotta go. Call 911.
Aren't you the police?
How is the industry reacting to Will Smith now, sort of post-slap? Is that a forgotten issue, or, like, what do you think?
I think the industry is still in that slap world. I think the public, though, will be, you know, there's this divide between critics and the general public. I think the general public will come out for this film. I could be completely wrong, though, but, you know, it's got everything that audiences want from a summer film, and they know what they're going to get. Like, they know they're going to get laughs. But it will have to be big. It will have to be better than anything they've ever done before because of that whole slap dust that still is settled. Because it hasn't settled. I don't think it has, right?
I don't think so either. I do think you have a point that the viewers and the fans are more forgiving. But it's the slap, and it's his wife, the books that came out afterwards. It was just sort of everything felt a little... weird and very distanced from fans somehow. So it'll be interesting to see how he deals with this press tour, because he has to come out, he has to be funny, he has to really, he has to be everywhere in order to sell a summer movie. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if they do that and how the industry reacts to that. And I guess if this one goes really well, that'll be it, sort of. Then we're done. Yes. Then Will Smith is just on the road.
We've forgiven him, and yeah. It's moved. Yeah, exactly.
Money, box office, that's we're fine then. So as it feels sort of like a test.
I agree.
All right, another sequel. Pixar is back with Inside Out 2 on June 14th. It's the sequel to Inside Out, directed by Kelsey Mann, and a wonderful cast of voices. Amy Poehler, Phyllis Smith, Lewis Black, Kyle MacLachlan, and also Maya Hawke. Well, I think she's playing Anxiety, if I remember.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and my absolute favorite, Ayo Edebiri. So I think on paper, this looks really wonderful.
This is Joy, coming to you live in Riley's mind. Make some noise!
Yay.
Sadness is in the house! It's anger!
Let me at him!
We gotta get our mouth guard, people!
Fear!
No, that's not ours!
Disgust! Glad to have her on our team. Our little girl's growing up so fast.
Ow. Sorry.
It should be nothing but smooth sailing.
Hello. Ah! I'm Anxiety. Where can I put my stuff?
The fact that they're introducing Anxiety. I think if you remember when they first released like the character, they introduced the four new emotions and everyone saw Anxiety. It was like, oh, this is going to hit us really hard. I mean, as if the
too
first
much,
one didn't.
Too much.
It's like so on point. And then they've got anger and disgust too. So that and I think Phyllis Smith is playing sadness, but yeah, it's going to be so on point, and I think many adults are going to feel very triggered when they see this. So yeah, I can't wait to see,
because it feels like they need a hit, right? Pixar and...
yeah, because they've had everything come out in the pandemic. Do you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like Luca came out in the pandemic, Channing Red came out in the, you know, and I think people really love Inside Out, the first one. I feel like this could be the Pixar is really back with Inside Out 2. There's a lot of anticipation for this. Like people really want to see this one, so...
It would be really nice if this hit it out of the park and they were sort of back, because I just, I know they're doing another Toy Story, and when they do good things, it's just for adults and kids. It's some of my most emotional movie moments with my children, I have to say, watching Pixar. So I'd love it to be sort of a comeback.
Well, what's so great about Pixar is that they, and Disney too, is they know how to cater to do the adult joke, and they know how to do like the kid jokes that even the parents can appreciate, but like the adult jokes just fly. You know, you look at the kid and they're like, oh, you didn't get that, I did, and it's really funny. Bring it on.
Des, you know that feeling when you're like, oh, this is too early, we don't need this already, but here is the opposite for me. I want this every week. And this is Yorgos Lanthimos and Emma Stone already coming back with a new movie after their Oscar success with Kinds of Kindness on June 21st. An incredible cast. Emma Stone, of course, Jesse Plemons, Willem Dafoe, Margaret Qualley, Hong Chau, and a whole bunch of more people. And the trailer looks absolutely bonkers, bananas, wonderful. What do you think? Is it too early to come back after Poor Things?
No, 100%. Bring it on. Bring it. I mean, it's Yorgos, it's Emma. Now we've got Willem in the fold. And yes, that trailer, when they announced it, it's going to Cannes too. So you're going to get to see it there. I mean, how good does that look? You know, I remember there were rumblings of them working on their fifth film together. Mm-hmm. And they were being very coy about it. But it's like, why are they yeah, we asked them about it and there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, it's like, here you go, we're back.
I don't even know how they had time to do this, if considering both, you know, the incredible production around Poor Things and the press tour and the Oscar campaigning, and it's just amazing. This seems to be an anthology film.
This is it. The moment of truth.
Do you see their partnership just going on forever?
I mean, I hope so. I mean, what a great partnership. What a great, they're such great collaborators. And I'm so glad they, you know, they've got it going. And Emma's a producer on this again. So very, very excited.
Well, his female characters and the actresses that he uses are always so amazing. So can't wait. All right, a horror film here. We're moving to another genre, and that's Long Legs, which is going to premiere on July 12th. And I want to talk about this because this is, the director is Osgood Perkins, son, of course, of Anthony Perkins, legendary Psycho actor. It has Nicolas Cage is in it, Blair Underwood. It's a neon film. I know absolutely nothing about this. I just thought it sounded like an incredible team behind it with a lot of promise. What do you know?
I know nothing too, aside from the trailer that came out like early this year, but the fact that it's like FBI serial killer, you know, that's the log line. It's going to be very interesting. And Nicolas Cage, I mean,
he's having a run, isn't he?
100%. I mean, I'm speechless that, like, you know, he can go from something like Mandy and then he does Long Legs, and like, yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, Dream Scenario, he was amazing.
Dream Scenario.
Yeah. Have you seen anything by Osgood Perkins before?
I have not, no. But you know, when you look at his, I don't know if you've seen his photos, but he totally looks like his dad, which is.
Yeah, not to get into the Nepo baby thing, but it's always interesting that, you know, sort of following, you know, in dad's, I mean, Cronenberg's family is the same thing, sort of following in your dad's, but not only in the industry, but also in the genre.
100%. And he's moving from like acting to writing and directing. So let's, you know, I'm curious. I will be there.
And it's always nice with the horror film, sort of midsummer. I like that. All right. I keep asking you this, but there's so many movies this year, which I feel like, do we need this again? July 19th, it's time for Twisters, which of course you guys all remember Twister. This is directed by Lee Isaac Chung, which was a surprise to me. Directed one of my favorite movies, Minari. Seems like a different animal, if you ask me. Daisy Edgar-Jones and the big star Glenn Powell.
It's Tyler Owens. He calls himself the Tornado Wrangler.
If you feel it,
Jason!
I said, if you feel it,
Jason!
What do you know about this? This has to be some incredible artisans behind this as well.
I mean, I think, yeah, to your point of Lee Isaac Chung directing this, I mean, I will be there because, as you said, he's directed one of our favorite films. It's crazy to think that first film came out in 1996 and Hollywood was like, okay, wait, it's time now for us to do a follow-up. I think artisan wise, again, you know, it's always like, how do you actually create a twister? Like,
we're not doing the stalking anymore from Wizard of Oz, right?
Right, exactly. It's like, how are you going to pull it off, kind of thing? But it's going to be, yeah, I mean, I'm curious to see the cinematographers, Dan Mindell. Tara Lynn Shropshire's the editor, and she's a great, you know, her body of work includes The Woman King. She did Love and Basketball. She works with Gina Prince-Bythewood a lot, and she did When They See Us. So I know she's a fabulous editor. So I'm curious to see how it comes together.
And all we know is that it's going to be a lot of more twisters because it's not Twister anymore. It's Twisters. So there will
twisters.
Be multiple
Sorry.
Twisters. Yes, as opposed to the first one. What do you say about Glenn Powell? He's also having some kind of amazing year, isn't he?
I mean, talk about his moment, right? It's kind of, it's like everywhere you go, it's like Glenn Powell's in this film, or Glenn Powell is here. Good for him. I mean, you know, he's a movie star, right? Like,
let me ask you about that, just a quick reflection. Like Glenn Powell and Ryan Gosling, who are really sort of in these big blockbusters, and as you said, they're major Hollywood stars, really movie stars. They're doing great press. They're doing everything right. What do you think would be interesting for them to do? I think like Zendaya is someone who goes from huge things to something like Challengers and works in some, lots of different genres and lots of different sort of indie and big. What do you think these guys should be doing? What would you like to see?
I think the same. Like, you know, it's like... But Glenn, I don't know what I'd like to say. I mean, he did Devotion, right? He was great in Devotion. He did, you know, he did Top Gun. I mean, I guess.
And he can do rom-com, obviously.
Obviously he can do rom-com. I think maybe I'd like to see him in like you said, like what Zendaya's done. Like, she, you know, she's gone from like Dune and, you know, the big blockbusters to like Challengers. So maybe I'd like to see him in something small too, like an A24 film.
Oh yeah,
right. Or Neon.
Yes, and Ryan Gosling, who's on his third Oscar nomination, what will give him that award, do you think?
Oh my gosh, I mean, how close did we think for a moment that he could get supporting act? Like, were you on that train for a second?
He was my number two, just for a little second.
I think I put him at number one for a moment, and I was like, I don't know. It was the perfect thing. I don't know, right? Because he was great in The Notebook. He was great in La La Land, Blade Runner. I mean, I love his body of work.
And the ones that's even small, like The Half Nelson and Believer, Addicts and Neo-Nazis. And I mean, he can do everything. I'm wondering if he needs to go back to something like that.
Like Lars and the Real Girl, which
love. I love that.
That was, what, 2007? So I don't know. Yeah, I think to your point, maybe he needs to do something like that. Who knows?
I think I'm seeing a Robert Downey Jr. trajectory for him. It'll take 100%. A while.
100%. I think we'll get to probably 5 years from now, and it'll be like, that's when he'll win for something like, yeah.
We'll see. We'll talk again then and see. We were right. The new Chris Nolan. Okay.
Yes.
This is one I knew nothing about before researching for our conversation. Borderlands. We're in August now, August 9th. It's Eli Roth. It's a science fiction. And what interested me in this, we're talking about these big buzzy things. It's a video game series, but it's this ensemble cast. It's Kate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Edgar Ramirez, Jamie Lee Curtis, and that's just a few of them. That's a stacked cast of really big actors of a certain generation.
Yeah, like I've seen the photos. I mean, Kate Blanchett playing a bandit, and if you look at her, or just the images that have been released from this film, it looks, I mean, I'm not a video gamer, I just want to put that out there, but I will be watching this film. I'm curious about the action. Like, I feel like I don't need to know about the game. I think it's just going to be accessible.
Legend has it that there's this massive treasure hidden in some secret vault. And if you go hunting for it, you'd better take any help you can get. Because it's on the weirdest, most dangerous dumpster fire of a world in the universe.
God, I hate this plan.
For someone who doesn't know anything about this, is this a big video game that is like a huge franchise?
I think it is, right? Because that video game world is a whole beast unto itself, and gaming is one of the biggest industries right now. But I think there's definitely a lot of interest. I did see a lot of, like, when the poster came out, I saw a lot of that on my timeline, not from our little lovely film Twitter bubble and beyond. So yeah, I mean, it could be great, it might not be great, who knows, but I'm just there for the makeup and the costumes because they look
amazing.
Kate Blanchett, I'm like, yeah.
I mean, not that Kate Blanchett needs anything to look amazing, but I like to see her and Jamie Lee Curtis kicking some butt. It's all
yes.
But what about Eli Roth? Is he usually in this space?
Not really, right? I mean, I think this is going to be his first, because usually he does like
horror, right?
Horror.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be bloody and gory, which is what audiences love right now, right? Like, to your point of horror films coming out throughout the year, like the first Omen came out, has just been released, and it's doing okay because people love blood, gore, horror. So,
and Immaculate, and there's of course Monkey Man, which I really liked, but it's
yeah,
very, very violent.
Violent.
I was really impressed with him, that as a directorial debut.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure Eli will put some blood in there too.
All right, we have a couple more of these. Do we need this coming up here? But I guess that's sort of the summer fair. Alien Romulus, August 21st. This is the 7th installment in the Alien franchise, directed by Fede Alvarez. Here's someone I'm adoring at the moment. That's Kaylee Spaney, of course, Priscilla and Civil War. She does a great job in. Are you up for a 7th installment of Alien?
I mean, I don't know. Like, do we need it? But I agree with you 100%. Kaylee Spaney is just someone to watch, right? Like, she is rising. This is totally different from Civil War, and it's totally different from Priscilla, and she was brilliant in Priscilla. So please go out and watch if you haven't seen it. I don't know if we need another Alien. I mean, I'm such a, I'm loyal to the first three. And then after that, I've just kind of like...
Oh, same. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think this is one I'll go to if or someone I respect says, yeah, this has something different. But Kaylee Spaney, she's someone who is just choosing projects from all different corners of the Hollywood universe. And I am loving it. So for that reason, it'll be interesting to see what she does here. And do we need another Crow?
I'm speechless.
This one has actually gotten some backlash because The Crow, which of course was a big film and also had a very tragic accident as Brandon Lee was accidentally shot on it, and it has all this baggage and background. So I know a lot of people are weary about the new Crow coming on August 23rd.
It is coming for sure. Did it need to be rebooted? 100% no. Like, that first, the original Crow is such, it's such a cult classic, and it's kind of a perfect film. Brendan is amazing. Everything about that film is great. Like, you don't need, it didn't need to be, in my opinion, it didn't need to be rebooted. Yes, I will go and watch it because that's the nature of our work. But I don't see the need for it.
I wasn't thrilled with the trailer.
What's the first thing you liked about me?
I thought that you were quite brilliantly broken.
You feel like my person?
You feel like my person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
I saw things. I shouldn't have seen any of them.
Does have, though, Bill Skarsgård, which is also someone who's having quite a year and seems to be in everything. And what I am looking forward to is Dave Eggers' Nosferatu on Christmas Day with Bill Skarsgård. That I think is going to be something to behold.
So it played at CinemaCon the same day as Wicked. And all I could see on my timeline was, wait for this. Bill Skarsgård is going to be, this looks so amazing. And yeah, Bill plays the Count, obviously. So I'm really excited for that.
I don't think either Alien or The Crow are going to be huge. I mean, I'm just going to take a leap and say, yeah. I think the box office is going to be less than what they're hoping for.
I think people are going to be wary of seeing it unless word of mouth helps this film.
But here's one that I think could be a big deal. And this is the first week of September, September 6th. And that's Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, which is, of course, we could ask, do we need another one? But I actually think this is going to be fun. I love the whole concept. It's Tim Burton is back. Michael Keaton is back. Winona Ryder is back. And I love Jenna Ortega. Another movie with Willem Dafoe. I think we've mentioned him three times already. Monica Bellucci. I think this could be fun, and this could be sort of like a Stranger Things or something where the generation who grew up with this is going to bring their kids to this because they're the ones who grew up with Wednesday. And I just see a lot of people going to this. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I feel like Beetlejuice is loved, and there's been enough time for, you know, it's this thing where I feel like Tim Burton would not have done this if he didn't feel it was right. Yeah, the casting is amazing. I love that Michael Keaton is back. I cannot imagine anyone else playing Beetlejuice anyway. It's like, it is such a signature role for him. Winona being back, Winona's, you know, who doesn't love Winona Ryder? Oh. And then, yeah, Jenna Ortega. I mean, it's going to be so much fun. And if you've seen the trailer, the callback it does to the original with the Harry Belafonte of it all, it's going to be, and also Tim has his group of artisans, so like Danny Elfman is doing the score, Colleen Atwood is doing the costumes. I mean,
I'm sold.
Yeah,
I just hope it doesn't have the Ghostbusters sort of thing where we've done this enough now and they don't really have the story that hooks us as much as you want. But I'm hoping that the screenplay here is so good that it hooks us with all the old references and all the new ones.
I think we're safe. Like, I really believe in Tim Burton and for this one. And I also believe that, you know, if it wasn't right, would Michael come back? So,
well, it depends on the paycheck maybe, but on the other hand, he doesn't need one.
Yeah. It's going to be an exciting start to the autumn, fall, winter. Get us ready for everything.
I have one big movie I want to talk about, but is there anything else? We sort of got through the big buzzy blockbuster movies of those months. Is there anything else I missed that you want to mention?
I was going to say, we mentioned Daisy Ridley Jones, right? She has a film that's coming out that I've seen. I think it opens in May. And I think this film is kind of going a little bit under the radar. But it's called Young Woman in the Sea, and it's a true story. I have seen it, and it's about an American that swims the English Channel. Daisy is so good in this. If you're a fan of hers, like, it just totally, you know, she's another one, you know, people see her and they think of Rey and Star Wars, and this totally just allows her to like flex her acting chops. And she's really, really good in this film. I forget what date it opens, but sometime in May, and it's called Young Woman in the Sea.
We just saw a movie about a woman swimming Cuba to Florida, in Nayad, of course, but is this suspenseful in another way? Or
the cinematography of this is so good, and she sucks you in right from the beginning. There's a beautiful hop. You're rooting for her so much. Like, you just never, you want her to succeed. And I think that's what's so great about this. You might know the ending because it's a true story. People get so upset when they're like, you just ruined the ending. I'm like, but it's a true story. I
don't
yeah,
know people are
how
very
I ruined.
Spoiler sensitive to true stories, which is kind of weird.
It just blows me away. But no, she's so good in it. And it's just, it's very emotional too. Like at the screen, so many people were like tearing up. So yeah, this is a different, you know, Naiad was its own film and this is totally its own film.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I want to take the last few minutes here to talk to you about Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis, which, and sort of get your industry insight on this. Now, what we know about this movie, it's a huge movie. He's paid his own money, as is per usual for Francis Ford Coppola through many decades. It stars Adam Driver. What we heard last week was that he had had a screening for it in LA, and the buzz was that there weren't buyers. The latest news is that it will be competing in Cannes, but how do you explain this, that there's no buyers? Is this a red flag? What's going on here?
It's like, it's Francis Ford Coppola. His body of work is incredible. You know, this is the guy that gave us The Godfather and Apocalypse Now, right? It's so difficult to say without having seen the film. I mean, the cast is incredible. But then, you know, there are stories that the trades have written, that Variety's written too, about like the plot. Well, it's a wild plot. So my question is like, how wild is it? Because we accept wild storyline. Like, look at Poor Things, you know, that's wild. Even Challenge is a little bit wild. So what is it that Francis has done that's so wild that nobody's out there ready to buy it?
He wants a huge amount of money for the marketing. And is that what they don't believe in? You think that they'll get their money back? Or obviously always comes down to a question of money.
It's about the money, right? Mm. It's like, are people going to, the synopsis is like an architect wants to rebuild New York as a utopia following a devastating disaster. So it's a sci-fi film. I mean, I think that's the question, right? Like, does that appeal to people? Also, the cast has Adam Driver, Aubrey Plaza, Giancarlo Esposito, who is such an incredible actor, also Shia LaBeouf. So I, you know, again.
You mentioned incredible work he did, but the past decade or so, the movies he's done have not been huge successes, Tetris and things like yeah. that, which I'm sure as Hollywood looks today, it's a risk. I really want to see it. Huge Coppola fan, both father and daughter and every single cousin and Cage and everyone is in my favorite bag of. So I'm happy if I get to see it in Cannes, hopefully, if everything works out. But I'm worried that it'll get bought up by Netflix before. And as Netflix can't go to Cannes, it won't be there. But at the same time, I would be happy if someone bought it. But it feels like something like that could happen ahead of time.
I feel he doesn't want it on a streamer. I think he wants a studio, like a major studio that's not a streamer to buy it. That's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm feeling.
But if that's the only offer, I don't know how desperate the situation is, but.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm like you, like, you know, I love Dracula, you know, and that's another, like, I think we're just Coppola fans, right? The end. So I'll go see it no matter what. But again, it's like, is this an easy sell? And, you know, to just jump on that point, it's like Scorsese in Killers of the Flower Moon. I love that film. I think it's one of his top five films ever. But getting people to watch that film, it was like, they're like, Jazz, you know, what are you loving? I was like, go see Killers of the Flower Moon. The runtime was off-putting for them. So it's kind of like, and even the storyline, I was like, but wait, you know, and then it's that thing of Scorsese, Coppola, people don't automatically go to that anymore. It's like, but if I'm like, oh, Ryan Gosling's in it, great, sign me up, I'll buy a ticket.
A generational shift.
Yes.
It'll be interesting to see how Ridley Scott's Gladiator, if people will go to that or if that also feels like an old relic or, I mean, Paul Mescal in a gladiator suit is fine with me any day of the week.
But. We'll be there. But will the public buy that, right? Like, and I think that's the, I think that's why nobody has snapped it up yet, because it's like, Are we going to be able to sell tickets to this film?
Well, I'm supposing that there's a lot of people who would want to snap it up, but it's so expensive. There's maybe two or three today in the state of Hollywood that actually could. So I think that's sort of the issue. Can you imagine like A24 getting this? That would be amazing. All the stuff they've done with Sofia's movies. And I think it's a question of money to be able to maneuver this huge megalopolis. Before I let you go, can you say three films you're really looking forward to this year, and looking forward to personally, and that you think are going to be sort of in the Oscar conversation?
We've discussed all of them. Joker 2 is right there at the top of my list. Cannot wait for it. I love everything. I'm just ready for it. Inside Out 2, I want to just, I love that. And Beetlejuice. That's my 1, 2, 3. Which of them get into the Oscar conversation remains to be seen. But I think, I feel Inside Out will get in for sure. Joker 2, who knows? I mean, having said that, it got a lot of the first one got a lot of Oscar nominations. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a contender again this year in many of the crafts.
Maybe for
People are saying
Lady
Lady
Gaga.
Gaga is going to get an Oscar nomination. I mean, the Academy loves her, so that would be great to see. And then, yeah, Beetlejuice is just kick off the fall season.
Look, if Lady Gaga and Zendaya are on Oscar campaign carpets, I'm happy.
We're going to be very
That's
happy.
just going to be entertainment right there. Jazz, thank you so much. It's been too long. Everyone, of course, check out her work, both the interviews, analysis on the artisans. You do a whole bunch of panels. Many of them are out on YouTube and you can watch them there. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh my gosh, Christine, thank you so much for having me back.
Okay, moving on.
History is complicated. The story of human progress is long, messy, and riddled with controversies big and small. On Conflicted, we dive headfirst into history's most infamous events and contentious figures. We try and untangle the good from the bad, the fact from the fiction, and the monsters from the misunderstood. Was Genghis Khan a murderous butcher or a civic pioneer? Did the Allied powers go too far in firebombing the German city of Dresden at the twilight of World War II? And how did the Marquis de Sade acquire such a sinister reputation? And was any of it true? These are just a few of the tough questions we wrestle with and investigate on Conflicted. So if you love history or just enjoy a good story, please join me, your host, Zach Cornwell, for a fascinating new topic each and every month. Conflicted, a history podcast, is available on Spotify, Apple, or wherever else you get your podcasts. I hope to see you soon.